topic is Asperger's and anger, but this isn't just about Asperger's syndrome, because Asperger's is an autism spectrum disorder. Autism spectrum disorders are an extreme form of being human. This is about anger and being human. I found a few quotes that I like. For example, James O. Hill is the director of the Center for Human Nutrition. He's involved in trying to figure out how human beings can successfully maintain weight loss in order to help people with diabetes. So he's very into nutrition and how people should live, but he has pointed out that I think we have got to realize that yelling at people louder is not going to get them to do things. I am so bummed about that. He's right, but I'm bummed. Martin Luther King Jr. pointed out, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Again, I'm bummed. I'm much better at being angry, cranky, loud, and I can do hate very well. I've got a lot of skills. My favorite quote on anger, Bartlett says this is anonymous. Here lies the body of Mike O'Day, who died defending his right of way. His cause was true. His will was strong, but he's just as dead as if he'd been wrong. Burma shave. Sorry, all poems end in Burma shave in my home. But as many of you are aware, I have Asperger's. Asperger's is a kind of high-functioning autism that is not always obvious. I've worked hard on trying to get rid of some of the traits that would make it obvious, basically for convenience purposes. Mixed success in how obvious I am in being not normal. I got diagnosed at the age of 36 and began to explore the underpinnings of AS and was forced to explore the reasons for my chronic anger because of my diagnosis. I was an angry toddler, and then I was an angry preschooler, an angry grade schooler, an angry teen, and then an angry adult. I spent decades seething with rage and frustration. I am good at it. I have mad anger skills. And when I say I was an angry toddler, I don't mean I threw more tantrums than other children, although I did. I threw high-quality tantrums, by the way. Not like these kids today. I'm in the grocery store, I see a toddler who's tantruming for a candy bar, and the mom turns away to do something, and the kid goes, takes a break. I'm sorry, when I tantrum, I was committed to that tantrum. I stayed just as mad, but it's not just the tantrums. With Asperger's, you get what's called little professor syndrome, where these little kids who have huge vocabularies and can talk like little adults. I was very smart for a three-year-old. I'm still smart for a three-year-old. I had a big vocabulary and very good verbal acuity, and the thing is, people with Asperger's tend to have trouble reading people. We have trouble with social situations. We are not intuitive about people. But when we get angry, we are so dead on, you wouldn't believe it. We can spot the vulnerability and go for it. So I wasn't just angry, I was good at it. I could shred people verbally at an early age. And even if I didn't know someone, I would go for the most obvious point of what will hurt the most. Despite my lack of social skills, despite my lack of ability to read people. Now, I was going to put in a whole thing about Michael Richards here, but I haven't got time. Let's just say if you have anger problems, you look for the first thing you can say that's hurtful, because anger is not generally about fixing things. It's generally about hurting. At any rate, I looked for ways to deal with my anger, because when everyone talks about you having a terrible temper and being terribly angry from when you're three, you kind of think this is a problem, especially when the people with whom you are most often angry control your television and your cookies. I wanted to control my anger because I didn't want to miss match game. For some reason, I just thought that was brilliant stuff. So I listened, I looked, I read, I tried to find out about anger. And I did learn about anger because I watched Dinah Shore and Dr. Joyce Brothers explained it all to me. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, get off my lawn. What I grew up hearing over and over is that you needed to vent your anger. You needed to express your anger. You needed to get it out of your system. And I vented my anger. Because after all, what they said is if you're very angry over a small thing, that means there's an underlying problem. There's something real. You have to get at the core of it. It's called catharsis. It's full of wild blueberry muffins because I would do things like you punch, you know, you think about who you're angry at, you punch a pillow and you get it out of your system. But what you're doing is thinking about anger and getting violent. You're thinking, you're focusing on the person you're angry at, you're focusing on your anger, you're acting out physically. Okay. Suppose you are fortunate enough, as I am, to have a spouse you adore. And suppose you spend a lot of time planning a romantic evening and everything goes wonderfully. And the next morning, you wake up, and you think of them. Are all your feelings gone? You vented your love for that person. It's vented. It's out there. It doesn't go away because you put it out there. It's more intense. You get more attached. Punching stuff and venting and otherwise trying to drain off my anger resulted in me being more and more angry. In fact, practicing venting verbally meant I was not just easily enraged, I was well rehearsed. So when I got angry at that person again, I had even more ammunition. But I kept it up because I was told you need to vent. I was told anger is a sign of something wrong, that there are, you know, this means something. And it's very nice to feel that your anger is important and that there are deep underlying things. And catharsis is fun. Going to my room and punching random stuff was a lot of fun. And you kind of get, you know, you get that catharsis, you get kind of a high, you get it, you feel good at the time, but it doesn't deal with the underlying problem. It's kind of like treating depression with beer. That's a whole other sermon. I spent 3 decades trying to use standard techniques. I talked things out. I went to adults I trusted and tried to discuss my... The more I rehearsed it and went over and over and over it obsessively, the more I was angry. I got diagnosed with Asperger's at 36, as I mentioned. I started reading about Asperger's. I started reading more about psychology. I started doing some heavy-level research. I have shelves of books on autism and psychology. I made off with like half of Alice's books now that she's retired. This is kind of a sideways way to approach the anger issue, but what happened was I found out about sensory issues and Asperger's and autism. Sensory issues are things people on the autism spectrum frequently have senses that are keyed higher or lower than normal. And it can vary. People who get stressed out tend to get more sensitive and more hyper-aware. And I had hypersensitive hearing, hypersensitive sense of smell. I was very, very, you know, nervous about movement. You know, I have that thing like a deer where they catch the thing out of the corner of their eye and they bolt. Great fight or flight instinct. So if we're ever back in a situation where we're living in caves, I'm the person you want to send out who can spot predators. A lot of the traits associated with autism would be great if we just hadn't gotten all civilized. Trust me, the person who can never sleep is the person who knows when you're being attacked at night and wakes everybody else up. Thank you. You're very welcome, by the way, for the fact that we've been keeping you people alive since the Paleolithic. But after reading about sensory issues, I realized that one of my big problems in life was Brea Mall. Because it is noisy. There's conflicting noises coming from different... Every store has its own music, has its lights, has its smells. I really think the Cinnabon people just pump cinnamon into the air system. I don't believe that's how it just smells on its own. It was very overwhelming. But I had read as a teenager that the mall is the new town square and you go to the mall. And so I went to the mall every Saturday because Ray Bradbury said it's the new town square and you're supposed to do that. And I'm very rule-bound because that's an Asperger's thing. And I thought everybody else was just tougher than I was. I thought I have to keep going till I get tough enough to take it like everybody else. Well, everybody else wasn't as freaked out as I was. They weren't in pain like I. Well, okay, if you've got, you know, three kids who are 6 years old, you might be just as stressed at the mall as I was, just as an example. But I stopped going because I realized this hurts me. I don't need that pain. It's not a matter of not being tough enough. I just can't take it. Stopped going to the mall every Saturday. And I felt wonderful. I felt so much better and less stressed. But what I really noticed, and this took a few weeks, but I sort of eventually caught on, I stopped having fights with my husband on weekends. We had had horrible fights many weekends. I'm talking PMS grade fights. And I had always thought, well, there's got to be something in our relationship because these little things are setting me off, so there's got to be underlying things that we have to work out because anger is a sign that there's underlying stuff and I have to dig and I have to find it. And we have to keep fighting because we have to get at it and we have to deal with it. And it stopped when I stopped going to the mall on Saturday mornings. Well, I mean, we still had disagreements because, unlike me, Gary is not always right. But we didn't have the knockdown, drag-out fights. And this was humbling. Really, really humbling. I don't like humbling. But what it meant was my anger was not simply coming from deep, emotional, truthful places. It meant anger was coming from things like being stressed out. There were other sources of anger in me than how right I was or how important something was. To realize that my anger was not always 100% true and accurate and I couldn't rely on it as a guide was a huge insight and changed my life. Because all of a sudden, I didn't have to get angry. Now, here's the thing. My anger and rage were not the result of something Gary did. My anger at the world was not the result of an unjust world. The world is unjust. There are deep, serious injustices and problems in the world. And I personally had good reasons to be angry. I grew up with Asperger's syndrome. I was low kid on the totem pole at school. I was the fourth grader the first graders beat up. And I'm not kidding. Because I was so terrified of the other kids. I was dragged through psychological evaluations. I was diagnosed as a fourth grader with an Electra complex. I am not kidding. For those of you who don't know, that's a father fixation. It was 1974, and this brilliant psychiatrist decided that since I tended to mimic my dad and act like my dad and want to be like my dad, I had a father fixation, and if they would just take away my toolkit and my comic books and make me play with dolls more, everything would be fine. And my parents, who are deeply traditional Christians, said, "This is a load of hooey. Thank heavens, because otherwise I would have had to keep going to this person." Point is, I had a lot of diagnoses and a lot of interactions with professionals that hurt much more than they helped, because one of the problems with being a therapist is you have to come up with a diagnosis. There are real reasons I was angry. There are real reasons in the world to be angry. The world is not fair. I mean, this may be too much my degeneration, but it is not fair that Kurt Cobain was so tortured by life that he took his own life at 27. We lost a brilliant light. On the other hand, Leni Riefenstahl, of Hitler fan movie fame, lived to be 101 and was in incredible health so far into her old age. She's scuba diving in her 90s. She's having a great time. That's not fair. Good people, talented people, people we love shouldn't die young. People who suck should, but that's not what happens. There are plenty of really good reasons to get angry. Lots of them. I had lots. You have lots. There are real reasons to be angry. There are all sorts of things no one could blame you for raging against. But there are a couple problems. Being angry a lot is like being depressed a lot or having an anxiety disorder. It's bad for your health. It can mess up your gut. If you have anything like arthritis or like I have old carpal tunnel injuries, you'll find when you get angry and tense, it makes them flare up worse. So chronic headaches, chronic insomnia, lots of fun things like that. The other big problem with anger is it doesn't work. No matter how well rehearsed I was, no matter how good my tirades got, no matter how many times I went through the same tirade that I worked on and improved and tweaked over and over, it didn't change things. When I yelled at people, they would defend themselves. When I was angry at people, they would get into the position where it was you against me, and they would have to come up with more and more reasons why I was wrong and they were right. I pushed them into the position of having to argue with me, having to support their position, having to make themselves more entrenched. Anger and conflict just aren't really good problem-solving tools. Anger and conflict are terrible problem-solving tools. Listening is a good problem-solving tool. Understanding, doing, there are a lot of good problem-solving tools. Unfortunately, anger isn't. If anger and frustration and rage were good tools to change society, I would have had this entire hemisphere whipped into shape by the time I was 9. I am good at this. You can ask my husband. And you can all, you know, there, give him a phone number of a shelter. No, things are better now. That's the thing. People are, I give talks and Gary's there and women come up to him, "Oh, you poor dear." And I'm like, "Mine, stay away." Point being, I had to give up my anger. I had to decide whether I wanted my right to be angry or my right to be happy, because I couldn't have both. Turns out all the things that help with anger for people and Asperger's syndrome are basically the same things that help angry people in general. Things that really do help. For example, I had to stop instinctively blaming the person who was making me angry for making me angry. I had to start looking inside for the source of anger. Not that there weren't real things that instinctively any human would get angry at, but I had to start looking. You would be amazed at how rationally I can discuss even very touchy subjects when I've had enough sleep and enough food and a nice brisk walk and I'm in a great mood. I can talk about hot button topics just so wonderfully. I had to start monitoring myself. I'm getting angry. How hot is it out? Did I eat breakfast? How much sleep am I going on? I had to start looking at those physical things as one of the keys. And that may sound kind of shallow, feel physically better, be less angry, but it meant looking at me just as much or more than the other person. That's hard. A lot of people find it impossible. I got lucky because I did a lot of reading. I stumbled onto what turned out to be the one kind of therapy that works for people with Asperger's and high-functioning autism, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. My personal favorite version is rational emotive behavioral therapy, and I hope you're writing all this down because there will be a quiz. You don't have to know the details of that. That's not what's important now. What it means is looking at what I was angry at differently and thinking about how my angry reaction affected me and others. If I get cut off on the freeway, do I get angry? Do I let it pass? Well, if I used to get cut off on the freeway, I'd think, oh, he shouldn't drive that way. He's dangerous. It's bad. It was bad that somebody had cut me off. And I was angry. And I was so angry, I was a driver who was distracted. I was focused on anger. And now when somebody cuts me off on the freeway, I tend not to get angry. Same situation changes when I changed my thoughts about the situation deliberately. And this is a minor situation, but it's sort of the same pattern. Going from, he shouldn't, I have the right not to get cut off, I went to, okay, how many reasons does this have nothing whatsoever to do with me? Okay, he didn't see me, he's late for a job interview, he's distracted by kids in the back seat, he's on his way to the hospital, he's distracted and upset because someone cut him off. Or maybe he just has to get somewhere to pee really fast. But it had nothing to do with me personally. Of course, there are bigger problems, much bigger problems in the world. There is serious unfairness, injustice, and just plain awfulness in the world, but whether I respond to them with rage or not is still based on my internal thinking process, because you can be upset and not enraged. You can be sad and not depressed. You can be concerned without being anxious, depending on what you're feeding into your own head. I tended for a long time to go around believing things like life should be fair. Now, by life should be fair, I didn't mean, and most people don't mean, that it would be good if life was fair. It sure would be an improvement. I meant that it is awful when life is unfair. I can't stand that life is unfair. If people are not upset that life is unfair and are not angry about the things I'm angry about, I have to go make them be. I needed to be the judge, jury, and executioner. I needed to go out and fix things and be angry. Being angry didn't fix anything. Life was unfair, and so was I. Thinking that life should be fair, must be fair, is crazy making. Thinking that it's a disaster if the thing I disagree with happens rather than just, this is bad, I'll see if I can prevent it. Oh, I went nuts. I think it's better when things are fair. I do what I can to try to be fair to others, and I try to vote and act in a way that makes things more fair. But I'm not in charge of how fair the world is. I am not in charge of explaining to the old guys' political discussion group at McDonald's exactly why none of them should have voted for Prop 8. They won't get it. I can come over and lecture them for an hour. It won't make a difference because they're just going to be entrenched and, oh, we have to... If I listen and respond, I may not convert them, but I might get them to listen, and somewhere in their brain is the idea that a reasonable, nice person could believe differently than they could. Somebody they could like could believe differently than they could. It's amazing how much you can do without being enraged. It's amazing how many problems you can solve better or at least deal with better without being enraged. This country was desegregated under the influence of a man who transformed his own rightful anger at what was going on into determination and the willingness to do what needed to be done without rage, without anger, with determination and love. That's how things really change. And no, it doesn't always work, and it sure doesn't always work fast, and bad things happened along the way. There are heartbreaking things that happen to people who are trying to change the world without violence and anger. But it's worse when rage is the guide. I had to decide that if the world wasn't fair, that was not my responsibility. I was not responsible for judging it, for figuring out what was fair, for making other people think right and act right. I can't make other people do anything. I can talk to people, I can listen to people. That sometimes changes minds and it sometimes doesn't. But if I try to make people, they're more entrenched. To give up on being angry, I had to give up on the internal idea that I needed to fix everything, that I needed to be right all the time, and that I needed to correct everyone else's thinking. I had to give up on the idea that my idea of right and wrong was so important that I needed to inflict it on everybody else all the time. To be less angry, I had to admit to myself that the universe does not begin and end with me, and that I have limited knowledge and power. Again, I'm bummed. I liked a self-centered world. I clung to a self-centered universe because, frankly, I like to be important, and I like to always be right, but it got tiring, and my gut couldn't take it anymore. I've brought this up a couple times in the talk back about various things. The primary problem of the believer is the same as the primary problem of the atheist. If you believe in a God, Judeo-Christian or otherwise, you have to admit you are not God. If you believe the divine is present in each human, then you have to admit you are not more God than the other humans, and that you aren't perfect because obviously there's something other than God going on in you. Of course, if you do not believe in God, then you cannot be God. QED. This is the primary key to dealing with Asperger's syndrome and anger. It is the primary key, I think, to dealing with human anger. Once I realized that I got angrier and more self-righteous than when I'd been to the mall, I realized that my anger, while quite real, gosh, it was real. It was palpable. You could smell it, I'm pretty sure. It was real, but it wasn't true. I had to step down from my position as ruler of the universe. Again, bummed. I am still annoyed that I have no lock on truth. I am still annoyed that I can't make people do what I want them to do. I would prefer to be the center of the universe and the enforcer of justice and fairness in all human interactions. But once I step down from my own anger and rage, a process I started 8 years ago and I'm still working on, my life got better. And I actually found I was more likely to get people to listen if I listened to them. Occasionally, I've actually managed to get someone to acknowledge my position as validity. I have actually argued successfully by not arguing. All I had to do was give up my position as ruler of the universe. So all a person has to do to become less angry is completely change how you think about everything. Hope that's useful to you.